Amen. It is good to be here. Amen. It is very good to be here. Good to be amongst the saints, good to be amongst those who love Christ, yes. Good to be just in a place where we can have our hearts dealt with, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you all happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 8, please? And before we read there, there's a portion of scripture I want to get to right at the end, but before we read there, I'm just going to give you a quick backdrop as to the context of what this scripture is pulled from and just a background to what's happening in 2 Samuel chapter 8. We've got there King David, okay? King David smote the Philistines, he smote Moab, he smote Hadadezer. David slew of the Syrians 20,000 men, and David dedicates the spoil of his victories to the Lord. David smote a further 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. And then it comes to verse 14. And if you read with me from verse 14 to verse 18. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the host, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was recorder, and Zadok the son of Ahitub and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar were the priests, and Seruiah was the scribe. And just the last verse, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers. And what we have in 2 Samuel chapter 8 there, David's building a kingdom. David's rule and authority is being established in places where it previously was not. We have there, it says that he smote the Philistines, he smote Moab, Hadadezer, slew of the Syrians 20,000 men, a little while later another 18,000. And he dedicates the spoil of all his victories to the Lord. But David's rule and authority is being established in places where it previously was not. Now, what I hope to share with you this morning, and what I hope you'll see from this message this morning, I have something here, and it's regarding this man at the very end, one of the lesser known characters of the Old Testament, one of those names we read over, you never really look into, it doesn't crop up much, we don't have great testimonies of, he didn't prophesy and bring the word of God to nations, but it's one of those lesser known names, and it's in that last verse, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. And I want to share with you something about Benaiah, and something that I believe the Lord has just opened up to me as I looked into this man, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, who he was, where he come from, the things that he did. And the reason I want to share that this morning is not just that we can have a little bit of historical fact or that is good, but I believe this parallels in a very unique way. It has sat so right with my heart. Just I felt it's been opened up to me to some degree. Just how this parallels our life as a church. And I've just simply titled this message, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. You could call it the Benaiah church if you want to. We're going to have a look at this, and hopefully you're going to see this as we're going to see. This was something just reading back a while ago. Just noticed this name, Benaiah, and looked into it a little, but just as I came back to it again and again, it opened up again and again, and more came out of it. And man, I've left my heart to share with you this morning. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. We just pray before we come. Lord, Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're building your church. And Lord Jesus, I do believe we're caught up in that, Lord, and you've made us part of that, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, I ask for your help, Lord. Lord, even just in sharing, Lord, the word I believe you've given me this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, O God, it would be great liberty, O God, both for me speaking, Lord God, and for everyone to receive this word, Lord. Yes. Believe this is a word for us, Father. Lord, will you come and will you speak to us, Lord? Yes. Let no man be seen but Christ, Lord. Yes. Lord, we're gathered unto you, Lord, and I thank you that we are gathered unto you, Lord. That you've called forth a people, Lord, out of every nation, O God, every corner of every nation, dear God, and you've made us one in Christ, Lord. Lord, I thank you even as soft you shared, Lord. Lord, we're covered over in that robe of righteousness, Lord, and it's no longer us that you see, but you see Jesus. Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I thank you we're gathered as the family of God, as the saints, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, we want to gather unto you and your word. And oh God, Lord, give us a heart, Lord God, that's united on your word, dear Lord. My Lord, give us a word that's united on your word, Lord. Help us here this morning. Father, we love you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you for your dealings with us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. We can learn from this life of Benaiah that God has taken us somewhere. But I believe God has taken us somewhere as a church. I don't believe he's just set us here to have nice meetings and to lift up our hands and worship and all that is good. I love it. I love being here. I'd rather be nowhere else on a Sunday morning. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, not waking up with a hangover or running around chasing some lust of the flesh or something in this world. We're here. We're gathered together as the saints of God. And you know, but Benaiah, this, just a lesser known name in the Old Testament. We know in scripture that there's nothing in there by accident. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, every word of it, every jot and every tittle, not one part of it's going to fall away. And, you know, so often as we read through, just, I find particularly the Old Testament, you can get these lists of names, genealogies, and always read them. Always read them. Don't ever be tempted to just pass over chapters because you could write it off as unprofitable. There's so much in there. But just as you look into a name, and we know name denotes character, none of these names are in here by accident. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It literally means God breathed every word of it. This name, Benaiah, appears 42 times in the Bible. 25 of them, I believe, relate to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. That's a substantial percentage. Of those 42 times, the word Benaiah is the name of 12 Israelites. There were 12 Israelites. That's what Strong's Concordance says. 12 Israelites with the name of Benaiah. Or Benaiah. I'm going to mispronounce a lot of words here this morning, so forgive me. But 25 of them, I believe, relate to this Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. A son. You could say Benaiah was the fruit of Jehoiada. Or he was the offspring of Jehoiada. All of that is correct. He is what came out of Jehoiada. And when you look at the name Benaiah, which I did, absolutely wonderful. It's an amazing thing to see. Benaiah means Yah has built. Yah, short for Jehovah Yahweh, our Lord God. Benaiah, that name Benaiah means God has built. And Jehoiada, his father, what this that God has built has come out of Jehoiada. Jehoiada literally means Jehovah known. So I believe the following statement could be made from just Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, that the fruit of, or what comes out of knowing Jehovah God, is something that Jehovah God has built or is building. I'll say that again. The fruit of knowing Jehovah is something that Jehovah has built. I conclude that Benaiah is a type here in the Old Testament of the church. Because what has come out of knowing him is something he's built. We believe he's building his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that to Peter in Matthew 16:18. It's a scripture we've come to again and again over the past weeks. But this same Peter in his first epistle in chapter 2 verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Ye, saints of God, blood washed believers, ye are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You remember Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says to that prophesying, demon-dispelling, wonder-working crowd who assumed that their works would merit their salvation. They came before him and with only a proclamation of all that they had done and all that they could boast of. Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. Lord, we've worked wonders in your name. We've prophesied in your name. But note what Jesus said. We share this all the time. Speak to people on the streets. Speak to sinners. Tell them, share the gospel. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Remember that Benaiah is Yah has built, or what God is building, and it comes out of knowing God. And Jesus says to those, I never knew you. You could say the church is built by Christ using living stones through knowing him. It is all about knowing him. It is all about knowing Christ. We're not gathered onto a system of tradition, I hope, this morning. I hope you're not gathered here for tradition's sake or to come around this table because we've done it last week and we're intending to do it next week. We want to come here. You know, there is no order as to how a church service ought to be run throughout the Bible. We're coming here. I'm coming here. I know we've been praying throughout this week. I've been praying throughout this week. Lord, lead us. Lord, when we come in that door on a Sunday morning, Lord, lead us. Lord, guide us. Lord, stir us. Stir someone to bring, to share a word. Stir someone. Lay your hand upon someone. We want prophecy to operate in our midst. We want all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church. And it is about being led of the Spirit. There is no other church acceptable to God than the one Christ is building. Yes. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. One translation puts it, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Only what comes out of Christ is going to go back unto him. He's not interested in man's devices. He's not. That's why we have such a high esteem and regard for the Word of God in our midst. And I pray, God, that never diminishes nor deteriorates. We must have the Word of God. It must be our rule. It must be our authority. We're not going to stand here. I'm not going to stand here and share opinions or my ideas. Just what the Word of God says. And that's why, you know, we compare Scripture with Scripture. There's no contradictions in the Bible. That's why we go back. We look at the Hebrew. We look at the Greek. They paint more pictures for us to give us a fuller understanding. And you know, would to God it ever be so in our midst. We want to esteem the Word of God in our midst. It's all we have. Otherwise we're just another social or religious club gathering together to do our thing on a Sunday morning. We're not. If you look at the front of your leaflet there, your leaf there, small work, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Yes. We're gathered here Sunday by Sunday, meeting by meeting. We're gathering here unto him. The first mention we have of this Benaiah, I'm going to keep reminding you throughout this message of Benaiah, son of Jehoiah. The fruit of knowing Jehovah is something that Jehovah has built. I want to keep reiterating that because this is what has been impressed in my heart. Only the fruit of knowing him is something that he has built. That's what's going to come out. The first mention we have of him is in 2 Samuel chapter 8 verse 18. It says there, and Benaiah, and we just read it in that last portion of scripture. And remembering in the context, this is David's kingdom is being established. His authority is being exercised in places it never was before. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Now I looked at the Cherethites and the Pelethites and asked the question, who are they? Who are these Cherethites and the Pelethites? Why was Benaiah set over them? And just to remind you, Benaiah as a type of a church as we look into this. Cherethites literally means those who cut down in the sense of executioner or life guardsmen. I'll say that again. Cherethites. And it's that latter part I'll focus on. Life guardsmen. It says that in the Strong's Concordance for the Cherethites. Pelethites, a courier collectively or official messenger. The Benaiah church is responsible for being a guardian of life. As a church, that's what we want to nurture. As a church, that's what we want to be, a place where a sinner can come in, call out to the Lord and be saved. There's a life there that wasn't previously there, and there's a life there that has to be guarded. Life guardsmen. As we go through this, we're going to come back again to the Cherethites, or these life guardsmen. The Pelethites, official messengers. The Benaiah church is the courier, the official messenger. It is tasked with taking the gospel to the nations. That Benaiah church is to be a messenger to the nations. It is to guard life. You know, I remember in the School of Christ, those first messages, one of the things that really impacted me was about that we as believers ought to create the conditions for life. Everywhere we go, you know, we sing our songs, there's a river of life flowing out of me. But is there? Is there? You know, we want that river of life to flow. We want to create the conditions of life in our workplaces, colleges, families, friends, out on the streets. To have life, it's all about life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. We have Christ, it's all we have. That is all we have, that's all we have to tell this world about. It's Christ, it's this life. If the church does not guard life, it loses its reason for existence. It just becomes another dead thing. It just becomes another dead thing, another dead social club. But we have life here. I believe we have life here in the midst this morning. I believe we're gathered. I believe we're gathered here because we have life in our midst. The Benaiah church responsible for being a guardian of life. And the Benaiah church is a courier, the official messenger tasked with taking the gospel to the nations. We are to become that messenger. You're going to hear me say this, reiterate this again and again throughout this message. The Benaiah church and what it ought to be. The Benaiah church, it ought to be this and that. What Benaiah was, as we look in there. But Benaiah was the head of the Cherethites and the Pelethites. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 20, you don't have to go there because I'm going to be jumping around scriptures here. It says, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Benaiah, son of a valiant man, that literally means a man of wealth, virtue, valor or strength. This is God's church that he is building. You know, it has God's resources behind it. We believe that. We press into that. We stand on that fact by faith that if God has raised up a church here, he's not raised it up to be a mockery unto us. We want to press in and into the fullness of all that. We want to press on that narrow way. We want to strive to enter into that straight gate and earnestly contend for that faith once delivered to the saints. But this is a church I believe God has built. You know, we're gathered together unto him. And if God is building something, we're not going to lack in his resources. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have got all the riches of heaven. They're not the riches of this world, thank God. We have got all the riches and all the fullness of heaven behind us. Even as we're here just meeting in a place on O'Connell Street, we can know that it's a fact. It's who we are. We've been seated in Christ. A Benaiah church is rich beyond measure in Christ. Where did this church come from? And when you look at where Benaiah came from, it says he was of Kabzeel, and that word Kabzeel, that place, the literal meaning of it, when you look it up, it means God has gathered. God has gathered. Again, that scripture I just shared a minute ago in Genesis 49, it's on the front of your leaflet there this morning. Do you know about Shiloh? And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. A Benaiah church comes from what God has gathered together. Even before the foundation of the world, I believe this was in the heart of the Lord. You know, we're gathered together. It's not a mishap. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident that we, even you, are sitting here this morning. I believe that. I believe there is no accident. You might have thought to yourself, I'll just go along this morning. But I believe, you know, everyone that's sitting here, like Keith said, we believe in the providence of God and these things. You know, a Benaiah church comes from what God has gathered together. It's not a thing of man's devising or man's invention. And this is the church we want to be. We want to be a church of those who God has gathered together, a God-ordained church. It goes on to say back there in 2 Samuel 23 verse 20 that Benaiah had done many acts. This man Benaiah, when you look at his life and you read the scriptures, everywhere he crops up, this is Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He ran into conflict with lion-like men and lions. It says he went down into a lion in the pit in time of snow. That word lion means to pluck away violently, and since right throughout scripture we've got the devil typified as a lion. Peter says to him there, be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In Judges 14 verse 5 it says, a lion roared against Samson. And in 1 Samuel 17:34 it says, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Since this, we see the lion here, I believe it's a type of the devil. The lion comes, he wants to take away those lambs out of the flock. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. He comes as a roaring lion, walks about seeking to whom he may devour. He's a hungry lion. But this Benaiah went down to a lion in a pit in time of snow. A sense, first thing that strikes our mind about snow is cold. And I'm going to bring this out, by the grace of God, even a little more as we go on further. Even in times of coldness, yeah, we can go down into a pit, yes, and face the lion. Even when it goes on, it says, you know, this Benaiah was a mighty man of valor. He done many mighty acts, it says. And it goes on to say that in verse 21 of Samuel 23, and this is again talking about the many acts that Benaiah had done, and he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. This is the Benaiah church that runs into conflict with lions, lion-like men, Egyptians. Egypt throughout scripture just typifies the world we've been brought out of. That world is the enemy of God. Friendship with it is enmity with God. That Egyptian is an enemy. In 1 Chronicles 11 verse 23 we got a parallel to that scripture, and it says there that this Egyptian, he was of great stature, 5 cubits high, very big. And saints, you know, as we're here, we believe we're being built as a Benaiah church, a church that is the official messenger to bring the gospel to the nations, a church that is the guardian of life and is there to nurture life, a church that is rich beyond measure in Christ, and a church that is put together from what God has gathered together, a church, we've known it already in our midst, we've known it just run into those conflict. You know, if you've been a Christian and you've not known the roaring of that lion in your life, I question whether you're a Christian, because it's only since you've been saved, washed in the blood, you became a target for the enemy, a legitimate threat against him. and since this is the Benaiah church that runs into conflict with many lions and lion-like men, but this Benaiah church, and mark this, when Benaiah, he slew an Egyptian, that Benaiah church can pluck or rob the enemy of what he thinks to do us harm with as a church. And you know, we've seen it so many times. It seems like the enemy is pressed in. The enemy has come in like a flood. Your mind is filled with thoughts. I've been swallowed up. That's it. This is the end of me. God has forsaken me. The heavens are as brass. I can't pray. I'm the worst Christian in the world. But have you known that just at those times, it's like out of the most impossible situation, God turns his thing ahead. And the very things that the devil thought to destroy you with, God uses it to the smiting of the enemy. Benaiah went down, He went down to him with his staff and plucked that spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Is that not what the Lord does? Amen. Saints, I tell you, there's no enemy. When that enemy, that Egyptian, 5 cubits high, big man, Benaiah, I'm sure, looking up at him, just overshadowed by him. And how many times that's even been us as Christians, just overshadowed by the enemy and all. But we can go down there and take that spear out of the enemy's hand and slay him with his own spear. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of how the devil works. We've got a Bible here. Sometimes I think we live ignorant of it, but we have all the scripture in our hands. We can delve into it and know where we are and where we're not, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not ignorant of how the enemy works. We're not ignorant of how to face him. We're not ignorant of the fact that we have armour. We have that spiritual armour, that shield of faith, wherewith it says, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is the Benaiah church. In 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 8, but Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. The backdrop to just the context of where that scripture is taken from in 1 Kings chapter 1 there. David's dying. It says Adonijah the son of David, as David was dying, it says he exalted himself, saying to himself, I will be king. And Benaiah, and again, we see something here that is going to be in the heart of a Benaiah church. This Benaiah, amongst others, he shows faithfulness unto King David. David's on his deathbed, he's dying, he's about to utter his last words. Mm-hmm. Shows faithfulness to King David, and we know King David as a type of the Lord, as a type of Jesus, right throughout scripture, that comes up again and again. And Benaiah, amongst others, shows faithfulness to King David in a time when others followed Adonijah. And Adonijah, you can see from there, he's a presumptuous man, he's self-willed, he's a proud person. And a Benaiah church will prove itself faithful to Jesus and his word when many depart from the truth of the gospel. There is going to be a remnant. It's not all roads lead to heaven, all roads lead to God. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not ensure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just preceding that it says, that time that's coming, I believe even now, is when men will not endure sound doctrine. Just before that, Paul said to Timothy to preach the word. To preach the word. We go back to Benaiah church. It is the official messenger. It does stand on the word. In a sense, we do stand on the word. Preach the word. Be instant in it. Be instant in the preaching of the word. Be ready to preach the word. In season, out of season, whether it's convenient and fitting at the time or not. Preach the word. Amen. David gives orders for Solomon to be anointed as the next king. Just go back to that last point. Benaiah did not follow Adonijah. Or Adonijah, I can't pronounce his name right. Benaiah did not follow him. Amongst others, there was a faithful few. And since there will be a faithful few, there will be a faithful, a remnant who are not going to just go aside after the things of the world or after the newest invention in religious circles, after the newest things that's come along. We are looking for a building of a church. It is the same church that was burst on the day of Pentecost. I believe that's the same church Christ is coming back for, filled with the Holy Ghost, ready for him, looking unto him. It says he that has that hope of his return in him purifies himself. That's the church we want to be. We will not justify anything that he does not, we will not allow what he does not. That's what we're looking looking for. And yes, the branded is legalistic and narrow along that way as we want to press into that way. But that is what we're looking for. That is, we want to be faithful to Jesus when many depart from the truth of the gospel. We believe we're in that time. We see it around us. We can identify it. So David gave orders for Solomon to be anointed as the next king. This is after Adonijah had exalted himself, saying, I will be king. 1 Kings 1 verse 36. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord the king says so too. As the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. A Benaiah church says Amen and truth, and so be it to God's word.
Yes.
You know, here was the king, the authority, and here we have Benaiah saying, Amen. What you say, it will be so. It will be so. We will see the fulfilling of it. A Benaiah church is in complete agreement with the King of Kings, even as Benaiah was with King David. They went on from that command to anoint Solomon as the next king. They went on to fulfill that king's command. It says in verse 38, So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Sherethites who we already saw were, I'm going to mix up the two of them. The Sherethites were those who, the guardians of life, and the Pelethites, those official messengers. We see those guardians of life going down with Solomon. They caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, and they brought him to Gihon. He's down there surrounded by the Sherethites, those guardians of life that are there to guard his life, those Pelethites who are there as the messengers gone down to anoint Solomon as the next king. Benaiah was one of the company who went to fulfill King David's command. Note this, a Benaiah church respects and submits to appointed authorities. A Benaiah church respects and submits to appointed authorities. What did it matter? I mean, David was going to die anyway. No, he was a man who had proved himself his whole life faithful to David. You know, faithful to where he was at, faithful over the Sherethites and the Pelethites. But here he went down there to fulfill King David's command. He went down with that group to anoint Solomon, that next king. A Benaiah church respects and submits to appointed authorities. Judgment on Adonijah. Adonijah tried to get Bathsheba to get Solomon to give him Abishag, the Shunammite. In 1 Kings, there was this woman appears called Abishag the Shunammite, given to David as he was dying because he got no heat. I said he didn't know her, but here was this Abishag the Shunammite. And Adonijah tried to get Bathsheba to get Solomon to give him Abishag the Shunammite. And Solomon said, this man has spoken these words against his own life. Solomon was the newly appointed authority. He was the new king. He ordered the death of Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 25, And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon Adonijah, that he died. Benaiah, ever faithful to his king, ever ready to obey his master's command without a moment's hesitation, and that is the Benaiah church. Sense, that is the Benaiah church we want to be, ever ready to obey our Lord's command. The moment it's uttered, the moment we're aware of it, we want to move. We don't want to hang back. We don't want to tarry. If he says go, we don't want to tarry. We want to be there on top of it. But here he is. He's given the order to go down and fall on Adonijah so that he'd die. He's spoken these words against his own life. Benaiah, ever faithful to his king, ever ready to obey his master's command without a moment's hesitation, fell on Adonijah and killed him. He displayed real discipline. Saints, discipline is instant obedience. Instant obedience. That is discipline. Benaiah was a very disciplined man. And saints, the Benaiah church is going to be a very, very disciplined church. It's going to be a church with order and a method of conduct, and a church that is disciplined in every realm and of its life and its existence. Benaiah wasn't sitting on the fence, vacillating, indecisive, or unsure of where he stood. He wasn't wavering. No, he knew in whom he had believed. And you know, he knew who he was faithful to. Benaiah, there was no doubt in his mind over who he was faithful to. The command was given. Benaiah just went down there and slew Adonijah. He had his mind made up. He would be obedient to his king, his lord, and his master. Note from that, a Benaiah church will not tolerate to exist what the Lord says must die. Benaiah didn't go down there and say, have pity on Adonai and say, look, you escaped there, we'll say it was done. He didn't put on a show or a covering, he didn't try and cover Adonai. He went down there, that command was given, Adonai had to be slain, he went down there and slayed Adonai. A Benaiah church will not tolerate to exist, which the Lord says must die. A Benaiah church will not pity, allow or justify what the Lord condemns. A Benaiah church will prove itself faithful, disciplined and obedient to his Lord sends. I want to be part of that church. I want to be a church like a Benaiah. I want us to be a church like Benaiah. I want more churches to be raised up out of the midst of this like Benaiah. Judgment on Job. And we see judgment on Shimei. Job slew two men more righteous than he. There was Abner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, captain of the host of Judah. That's in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 32. But in 1 Kings, just before that, it was told King Solomon that Job was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. And Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. Again, he is given that command. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord, and he said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. He wasn't about to go in there and slay him. He said, thus saith the king, come forth, come out of there. And he said, nay, but I will die here. Benaiah went back to the king. Benaiah brought that king word again, saying, thus said Job, and thus he answered me. And the king said to him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Job shed from me and from the house of my father. Here again the king gives a command to slay Job, which Benaiah immediately sets out to fulfill. Benaiah has been tasked with falling upon Job, just as he had been tasked with falling upon Adonijah. And also to bury Job in order to take away the innocent blood which Job shed from Solomon and David's house. However, upon seeing that Job would not come forth out of the tabernacle, he sent word again to Solomon to seek advice and counsel. He wasn't going to presume to go and shed blood in the house of the Lord. He did not presume to do that. Once he was sure of the king's command, he obeyed. The king said, do unto him as he said. Kill him there where he is. 1 Kings 2:34, so Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah the son of Jehoiada in his room over the host, and Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. Benaiah took Job's position. A Benaiah church will be used of God as a means of judgment upon sin. It will be used just as Benaiah was used of the king there, representing the Lord and representing that authority. That Benaiah church was used to put to death Adonijah, Job, and we see again, and Shimei. It was David's dying wish, or one of David's dying wishes. He says of Shimei, if you remember back, Shimei went up, come out, thou bloody man. He cast stones across at David, and David said he wouldn't take his life as long as he was alive. But he gave the command on his deathbed as David was dying. He gave the command to Solomon. He says of Shimei, bring his hoar head down to the grave with the sword. 1 Kings 2 verse 46. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, who disobeyed and went over the brook Kidron to fetch his two servants that had left him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Solomon had told Shimei he could stay in Jerusalem, build a house in Jerusalem, he could stay there, but he was not to go out. He was not to go out over the brook Kidron. But he did. He disobeyed that. He sent Jehoiada after him, killed him. A Benaiah church will be used in the same way as a means of judgment upon sin. And finally, this is the 10th point. Solomon was king over all of Israel. That's the background to what I'm about to say here. Solomon was king over all of Israel. In 1 Kings 4 and 4, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. Benaiah was set by the king over the host, and since the host here, it means a mass of persons, especially those who are regularly organized for war. Since this is the Benaiah church we're talking about, we're not just looking at the character of this man, but we're seeing and we're paralleling things even with our existence here in 74 O'Connell Street. That Benaiah was set by the king over the host. The church is a mass of persons. And it says here that word host, especially those who are regularly organized for war. Benaiah was the general in the army, so to speak. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, after faithfulness, promotion comes from the Lord. This is what we see in the life of Benaiah. He was set over that host. A Benaiah church is that mass of persons organized and ready for spiritual warfare and ever faithful to the Lord. That Benaiah church is responsible for being the guardian of life. It is the official messenger. It is rich beyond measure in Christ. It is the church that God has built from what he has gathered. It's come out of that place from where God has gathered together. You know, before ever you realized you were going to be saved, God knew that you were going to be saved. I do believe that. A Benaiah church runs into conflict with lions and does battle with lions, lion-like men, big Egyptian enemies towering over them. The devil come breathe down the back of your neck. This is the warfare we're called to be in. A Benaiah church will prove itself faithful to Christ when many others depart from that way, when many heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, when many will leave the assembly because they're not going to hear the things that tickle their ears, the things that they want to hear. A Benaiah church is going to be a faithful, even if it's just a remnant, even if it's just a faithful few, but he is going to have his faithful few. I want to be part of that faithful few. Is there something in you that says, I want to be part of that faithful few? I want to be such a church. I want to be as Benaiah was unto the king, faithful unto his king, faithful unto his Lord, right unto the very end. A Benaiah church will say amen and truth to all of God's word, to all of his commands. A Benaiah church is going to instantly respond. It's going to be a disciplined organization, even as we just saw that last point, that mass of persons organized and ready for spiritual warfare and ever faithful to the Lord. That is that Benaiah church, ready to obey, ready to command. Lord, you give the command, where you lead me, I will follow. That Benaiah church will not tolerate to exist. And saints, this is the church we want to be. This is what we're praying. These are the lines we're praying along. A Benaiah church will not tolerate to exist. What the Lord says must go. It will not allow to live. What the Lord says must die. It will not pity or allow or justify sin. Sin that the Lord condemns. Sin that the Lord died for on the cross. There's an issue in the life. That issue is going to be dealt with again and again. But saints, I do not want to justify something. I will not justify sin in my life. I believe we have that heart, and that such a heart has been formed in us as a church, as the body of believers here, that we will not say, this is just me. That we will not say, this is just our culture. That we will say, this is the word of God. We will obey it. This thing is going to change us. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does deal with the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Hallelujah. And it is able. It is able. You know, we have that word of God, and we are going to press into it. We're looking for a church raised up, a church even that was in the Lord's heart. We are looking for that church raised up. I believe in that same old Pentecost. I believe in that same Acts chapter 2. I believe we need it today. I believe nothing short of it is what we need in 2014. Amen. You meet people on the streets, met a girl there last night, absolutely, absolutely hopeless. 1 week ago, inside in that river, counselling. She knows counselling does not have the answer. She knows, she's been in religious circles, she knows all the prayers, she's been told all the things, she needs that revelation that Peter had, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are looking for lives and hearts to be dealt with. I want my life and I want my heart to be dealt with. We are looking for a place, a sanctuary, a safe place, that those out there, the lost and afflicted, those sinners can be brought in. We want to preach against sin. We don't want to preach a soft message that's just going to scare someone. Someone brought in and tell them it's okay, Jesus loves you the way you are, you just be as you are. After all, he's a God of grace. Jesus. There is a church that the Lord is going to vomit out of his mouth because they're lukewarm. Yes. We will be branded as legalistic. We will be misunderstood. We will be misunderstood. People are going to misinterpret why we're on the streets, why we preach such a narrow way. People are going to misunderstand why we will not tolerate even one social drink. People will misunderstand that brand is legalistic and narrow. But you know what it says in Mark chapter 3:21? It says that Jesus' brethren went out to lay a hold upon him because they said he's beside himself. He's mad. The religious crowd of the day, they came and they tried to run that Christ off the brow of a hill. We're looking for a Benaiah church. We are looking for a narrow way. It says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. I'm sorry if you want to come in here and if you want to just do things your way, that's not going to be happening. There's going to come a time where you're going to be dealt with by the word of God. Anyone, every one of us that gathered in here this morning, every one of us that gathers in here, we're going to be dealt with the word of God. He's going to take the time because he loves us.
Yes.
It's the Lord's will that none should perish but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
Oh, but I thought that was just for the sinners out in the street. Is it? How are the sinners out on the street going to know what repentance is except we as the church become repentance?
Amen.
We expect sinners out there, Saul often says this to me, you know, we pray for our families and our friends. He said, we expect this textbook salvation in their life. We expect them to fall down to their knees and we are not denying that. We are looking for sinners to fall down on their knees. But you know, we think of our families and we just want them to fall down on their knees, get saved, come in, and next thing they are the most faithful, they are the perfect example of a Christian. They're in every prayer meeting, they're up at 4:30 every morning to pray. Amen. We must become this message. Yeah. We're not just imposing narrow rules on us, we must become this message. The slightest thing will keep us from a prayer meeting, the slightest thing, I'm not making reference to you. The slightest, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We're looking to be a faithful, faithful church. A church that massive persons organized and ready for spiritual warfare sense. This is the church that Christ is coming back for. Amen. I do not want to compromise. I do not want to go aside after some new thing. What is something? Where is it going to end up? Our only message is Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. All I have today is all I had that night. Back in 2009, I met with Christ. That night he became my all, my sufficiency, you know. We remember the Israelites, you know, and I do believe this hinders us, but we remember that those Israelites, they were brought out of Egypt in a very short space of time, just brought out of Egypt, brought out of that place. But it took a whole lot longer to get Egypt out of them, and there is, thank God, there is that walk of sanctification. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're being brought forth. He's dealing with our issues because he loves us. He doesn't point out our sin. He doesn't point out these things in our lives, these issues, these heart attitudes and motives, because he wants to kill us. He hasn't led us out into a wilderness because there wasn't enough graves back in the world. He's brought us out. He wants to deal with us because he's a father and we're his children. Amen. You know, you can't be a child of your father unless you're born of his blood. You do a DNA test on them two people and you find there's the same blood. There's a link. And we are in a blood relationship with our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. His blood is the difference. And since we want to be that blood-washed church, if you're not born again and if you're not saved, we want to preach, you must be born again. You must be saved. Don't leave it till tomorrow, because you do not know when your last breath is. You don't know when you're going to draw your last breath.
Yeah.
It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's building his church, and he's going to build it out of living stones, not dead religion, not dead pebbles and dead rocks. He's building it out of living stones. That night I was born again, there was a life came into me that has not ceased nor diminished unto this hour or many, many times. You know, before that night I didn't know there was a devil. But since that night, he opened my eyes, showed me it was the devil. That devil puts out that lie that all these things, all the things of this world, all the things that you can fill your life with, we see it in those around us, our friends and our family, the things that they heap into their lives, they are heaping to themselves treasures. They're ripping down storehouses, they're building bigger barns to fill it with all the treasures of this world. But the Bible says, store up your treasure in heaven. Yes. Says, what will it profit a man, amen, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I walk beside a church. There's a church down the road from where I walk, and there's a lot of funerals going there, and I've never seen a hearse drive past. I've never seen a hearse drive past our garage with a tow hitch behind it or with suitcases in the boot. Saints, we are looking to live this life. It's not just an idealistic theology. These aren't just our nice little philosophical ideas here. This is the gospel. We are to live that life of denial. Else, how is the sinner out in the street, how is your family who watches you going to know what repentance is? Except they see in your life, and repentance is not just saying, God forgive me. It's not just saying, just Lord I'm sorry. That is not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. That night in 2009, I had a change of mind. I saw the Christ, he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He changed my mind. But saints, can I tell you something? And I praise God for it. I take no credit for it. My only boast is in what he has done. He is still changing my mind. He is still changing my mind. He is stripping away attitudes and motives. And he is still changing my mind. And if you come to Christ, and if you look upon him, and if you conclude of yourself anything other than the cross is necessary for your life, you're not seeing him right. You must be born again. Jesus said that to a religious man. He said it to a man who was a leader of his religion. He said it to a man who knew it all. He said, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. Saints, being born again, and to anyone here this morning that does not know, being born again, it's as real an experience as the day you were born. Yes. Could any of you tell me this morning, I've never been born? The evidence that I have been born is that I stand here in front of you. And the evidence that I've been born again is that I come to church on a Sunday morning. I'm not saying this about myself, you said this about yourself. The evidence that you're born again is you come to church on a Sunday morning. The evidence that you're born again, you have a hunger for the Word of God. You know something about a baby that's born just out of its mother's womb and it's not hungry. There's something wrong with that baby. And saints, this is our food. This is our spiritual food. This is the manna from heaven. This is the Word of God we feast ourselves on. This is the sincere milk of the Word. This is our strong meat. It's everything we need. It's everything we ever needed. It's everything we ever will need is the Word of God. And saints, there's something wrong if there's a baby born and it does not desire milk. There's something wrong. There's a problem. And saints, can I tell you, and for those you don't know, those who are not born again, if in your life, maybe you've thought you were a Christian, maybe you've always thought you were a Christian, if you are not hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, there is a problem. Hunger is the surest sign of life. I can testify, I remember the night I was born again, I had no perception of what had just happened to me, no perception of how utterly life changing it was going to be. I just knew that he'd taken a weight off my shoulders, but within 30 minutes I was on the phone looking for a Bible for someone. I was looking for a Bible, I was looking for the Word of God. Why? I don't know. No one told me there that night I needed a Bible, but that happened. We hunger for the Word of God. Are you hungering for the Word of God this morning? Do you want that Word to change your life? Do you want that Word? Are you outside looking in on this gathering this morning? Are you outside and you're wondering, I want that. I want to tell you that this Bible says it's God's will that none should perish. It says, you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. We come around this table here, it reminds us of the cross, it reminds us of Christ, it reminds us of his body broken, his blood shed. I love coming to this table, not because I love thinking about it. It's a horrific thing. But you know, we are brought to the reality that this man died for me, and if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's what my Bible says. I am counted as dead in Christ. That's why we can sing. He no longer looks at me. It's the words of it. He's not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Saints, that's all we have is Christ. That's all we have, saints. I want us to become a Benaiah church. The reason I'm sharing this morning, you know, this was the establishing of David's kingdom. This was in the process of the establishing of David's kingdom. Saints, you know, it's been so impressed on my heart this past few weeks, you know, just again that we are to become this message. It's not just okay for us to stay in a place of immaturity. It's not just okay for us to beat around the same bush again and again and again. He is building his church. We are looking for the raising up of more assemblies, more gatherings where there is none. We are looking for the preaching of the Word of God. You know, someone said to me back a while ago, I said, oh, where are all the men of God? Where are all the men of God in 2014? Where are all the men of God? I said to him, are you a man of God? You be a man of God. You be a man of God. Be a man of God in your college. Be a woman of God in your workplace, in your home, in your whole conversation. You become that message. You be it. Don't be looking around and say, there is few, there's going to be, you look around and you say, the land looks barren, everything looks dry. You become that message, you press in. You, saints, we're looking for the raising up of a church. There are going to be those who come in through that door, lost, broken, afflicted, and those who just need the Lord. And when they do, we can't be here going around having a little pity party for ourselves, wondering why my whole life is so bad. Saints, there's a place of maturity you come into. We must show ourselves faithful to the Lord. We are looking for the raising up of that church. We want lives changed. We want people to be born again. We want to restore this message of salvation. We want to become that. I hope I've done something just to share it about Benaiah, you know, to encourage you on your walk, press into it, be faithful. Just that one thing comes through it, I believe, faithfulness, just faithfulness. Faithfulness when the king's alive, faithfulness when the king is dying, faithfulness when there's a new authority appointed, faithfulness to the king when the enemy towers over you, faithfulness when you're facing the lion, just faithfulness. We are the messengers. You know, I heard a quotation one time, and it was just an imaginary conversation, a dialogue between Jesus and maybe it was Peter or something like that, but an imaginary dialogue. And you know, just looks down upon the church and sees the mess of it, and says, "This is that this church was what he has tasked to bring the gospel into the world. And just the question came to the Lord, and what if they don't do it? And he sadly shook his head and said, there is no others. Since there's no plan B. Mm-hmm. We are plan A. There is no plan B. Yeah. We are the church. And we must press into what we ought to be as that church. We are to be the guardians of life. There cannot exist in us anything that is going to pertain or lead to death. We are those guardians of life. We are called to guard that. Someone comes in the door, gets born again, falls down, calls out to the Lord and gets saved. We are to guard that life. Not just leave them off out there to fend for themselves. We've seen the devil is a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. He hates life. He hates life. And he hates Christ. It's never the person, it's the Christ in that person. He hates Christ. Just as Adonijah tried to exalt himself, so that enemy came. He tried to exalt himself, was cast out because of it. That same pride. That enemy that wants to come and pluck away those lambs from the flock. Saying the lamb is a baby sheep. You know, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd of the sheep. Saying we have to be guardians of life. We have to be watchful and vigilant in our midst, in our assembly, in our conversation. You know, in our prayer life. Watch and pray. Don't faint in prayer. Why is it at a time, I know I'm not unique, I know I'm not alone in this, that it seems so hard to maintain that altar prayer. Why is that? Why is that? It's because there's an enemy there that opposes. He will do absolutely anything to keep from the prayer. You know, I'll just share something in closing, just in preparing for this message. The Lord spoke to me about something in me. I'm fretting, right? I'm fretting about preparing a message. I'm fretting about how do I prepare a message? How will I get the time to study? How will I? And the Lord spoke so very, very clearly to me. He says, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What he impressed upon my heart was that study, our life of study, young men, young women, old women, we are to study to show us, we are to be in a place of study, we are to study this word. You know, it said of those Bereans that they searched out the scriptures daily to see what things were so. We can't just live in a place of God, having a vague idea of what God kind of thinks in a situation. Either this Bible is black and white, and it is, your Bible is black and white too. There's no grey areas in this Bible, literally, it is in black and white. And it makes everything black and white. By the word of God, it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But what the Lord did impress upon my heart is that we are to be in a place of studying this word. It's not trying to get settled on a Saturday night to study for something. Oh Lord, what will I say tomorrow? But it's in prayer that message is burst. It's in prayer as you commune with God. It's in prayer as you pray through, as you touch God. And I can testify that is how this message came forth. I know it. I know it in my heart. Whether you're convinced of it or not, I know it in my heart. I'm settled on that. It is prayer. Amen. Just, you can speak for the Lord. You can stand in that place of speaking for him. Saints, can we pray as we close? Jesus. Father.